Nobody really want fuego. Messiah will bring fire down worse than Waco. Buy you some coffee and Lego, your Eggos, your sandwich with mayo and two slices of mayo. Sitting at home on the couch playing Halo, but the Messiah ain't playing no Eggos. Games, women in pants gonna get it. Flames, brothers keeping no commandments. Same, calling our armies a favor. Even with your NATO and soldiers with Dracos. Just tell me, how can you stop a tornado or better yet the lava from the volcano? They really can't, bro. They have to pay, bro. The most I say so. So in chase they go for all their wicked atrocities they owe. For all their wicked atrocities they owe. From San Diego to Trinidad Tobago, I'm spitting these words so all Israelites they know. Keeping commandments the only way we grow, so we can defeat the nation Galileo. Nation Galileo, get it? Cause they pale. He's bringing them hell for every bill of sale. So family, just examine yourself. When that fuego come, you don't wanna get left. Forsake your sin so you complete the test. Then you can have complete rest from all your stress. Fight to do right to your very last breath, or stay wicked and receive second death. Destruction of enemies is muy bueno. Make sure that's one of the things that you pray for. Into the kingdom, the sinners, they can't go. The sinners can't go. So we say, hasta luego, hasta luego.
Brothers really don't want fuego. Sisters really don't want fuego. Nobody really want fuego. From San Diego to Trinidad Tobago.
Woo.
Sisters really don't want fuego.
I didn't change the name online, but let's go. Welcome to the Power Hour. at the lowest 144K, we're going to be changing the name of the show. It's just his name, Black Lux History, all over the place. But I like the Power Hour. We'll call it the Power Hour.
Good.
And then eventually be the Power 45.
Welcome to the Power Half Hour.
The Power Half Hour. Oh, man. I'm Captain Yahshua.
Shalom, Captain Afari. Shalom, Most High in Christ. Bless Captain Amariah.
Shalom, Soldier Hezekiah.
Oh, praise to the Most High. I'm still here getting my articles and stuff sorted. So what we're going to talk about today is, again, I was reading some articles. It hasn't been being reported a lot, but, you know, we still got all this unrest in Latin America. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Trump has issued, like, some new sanctions as a strategy to try to topple the regimes in Cuba, Nicaragua, and Venezuela. So we'll talk about that a little bit. We spoke about the Monroe Doctrine, I want to say some months back, and then it's been mentioned again. So they talk about how John Bolton, you know, he's in the Trump administration, mm-hmm. and he's the National Security Advisor. He was talking about that. Basically, he confirmed what the article was suspecting, that that's very much how they're operating with that mindset of the Monroe Doctrine. And I'll explain again what the Monroe Doctrine is and everything like that. And then I want to talk about this one article on Cuba where it's saying sanctions on Cuba is only going to slow regime change, not quicken it. And, you know, we have a little bit of a unique perspective because we were there. So a lot of this stuff they're reporting on, and you don't see, like, they talk about how they're rationing stuff now because of the sanctions. They were rationing stuff when we were there before these new sanctions. So, so it's, you know, there's a lot of, you know, you got to sift through this stuff, you know, basically. Call in numbers 516-531-9797, 516-531-9797. I'm going to go ahead and post some links. I'll let you, brother, speak. We got the brothers in Puerto Rico again. We sent a smaller contingency down there. We still have some representation down there. So they're out there. They did a radio show. They're out there doing flyer missions and stuff, you know, and you know, kind of building things back up. You know, the stuff that happened with the hurricane after we went there and broke ground really kind of slowed things down. And then, you know, we weren't really able to get back there soon enough to do a visit because of the fact of what was going on with the infrastructure.
Right.
And that kind of slowed things. So now these brothers got, you know, we sent them out there, boots on the ground, and they're revisiting and you know, kind of building up for the brothers that were still holding fast down there. So I'm going to go ahead and post some links for you guys.
So it's funny that, like, you're mentioning the stuff going on in South America, Central America, and everything else, because yesterday I was at work prior to my shift starting. I was getting, like, a little quick workout in, and I was talking to one of my coworkers, and somehow we started talking about vacation. Right. And he let me know in a couple of weeks he's going to be going down to Mexico on vacation. So I said, oh, you're going to go see family one night? He's like, yeah, yeah. Oh, is that where you're from? He says, no, I'm from Honduras, but all my family had to move into Mexico because it's so bad in Honduras right now.
Wow.
So I was like, wow, okay, that's crazy. Actually, we were just recently talking about that and, you know, bringing stuff up about that on our radio show. So he was giving me some insight that it's like, Bad.
Yeah, I heard Honduras is like real, like the gangs are like really in control down there.
Right. So he said pretty much his entire family just overnight uprooted and left. Like literally just left everything. Like, you know what? Hey, we'll just recoup when we get to wherever we go to. Like they literally left with no destination in mind. They just left. That's insane.
That is insane.
So
that is insane.
So I was thinking about that, and then I started reading some other like articles about what's going on in Venezuela and like everything else, and then watching the videos of the military just running over the pedestrians that are like marching and stuff.
Damn.
Like that.
Damn, I didn't even see that. That's crazy.
Armored trucks driving through crowds, just running over pedestrians that are there protesting all the different things that are going on there. So it's bad down there, man. Like, but the curses are very much alive for people down in Central America.
Yeah, man. It's heavy what's going on out there. I'm still checking this on here. Y'all can continue. I'm still doing stuff. Man.
No? Okay. All right. Well, in that case, let me get Isaiah 1 and 3, like I always do. Isaiah 1, verse 3. You got to understand that here in the last days that the Lord's been merciful enough to send Elijah the prophet to come bring back remembrance that we are the Israelites and what's required of us as Israel to get salvation in the kingdom of heaven. Read that.
It's the book of Isaiah 1, verse 3. The ox knows his owner and the ass his master's crib. But Israel does not know. My people does not consider.
So this is the Native Latin Black Lost History Show. So I always like to start with this particular scripture because this lets us know that at one point in time, we were subscribing to the fact of the nation of Israel, but now we're under the Gentile name. Actually, I was getting my haircut the other day, and then she was like, oh, yeah, I see you have these things on your shirt. That's from the Bible, right? So she knew that much. But then she also said, yeah, but we're the Gentiles, right? So our people don't consider that they're actually the Israelites because you see all these different negative connotations that are tied to our people because of the conditions that we live in, the way we treat each other. But we're actually the greatest people that have ever been created. We are the biblical Israelites. And we live in a day and age where it's kind of frowned upon to say, hey, I'm special and I'm better than everybody else. Even though the Amalekites, the Jewish people, are taught that from youth. But when we do it now, it's racist. That's why even the Spirit Cab a few weeks ago when you did that class about how special we are. Like,
mm-hmm.
What's it called? Like, of a nation?
For what grace, what nation is there so great?
I think it's heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Because that needs to be instilled into our children from a
big time.
From birth, because us as a people, we don't see that. That's why when we say, hey, listen, you're an Israelite, the first thing most of our people say is, well, what about white people?
Right.
Well, what about white people? And it's like, well, what about white people? I just told you that salvation is open to you and only you, and you're worried about your oppressor. That's Stockholm Syndrome to the T right there. But read it again real quick. Isaiah 1, verse 3.
The book of Isaiah 1, verse 3. The ox knows his owner, and the ass his master's crib.
So as unintelligent as these animals may be, they still understand that, listen, I know where my homeland is, all right? You ask a black man what's his homeland, he'll tell you Africa, but can't tell you what part of Africa is Africa.
Right.
Africa's massive.
Right.
Which part of Africa do you come from? Because
right.
You ask a Hamite, a real African, they'll tell you, I'm from this tribe and I'm from this location, this landmass, all right? They'll tell you anything, all right? And it says that they know who owns it. They subscribe to their gods, not us as a people, though, read on.
But Israel does not know.
But the blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans, we don't know, read.
My people does not consider.
We don't even consider because we were told, hey, listen, you're a Gentile. God wasn't for you, but he sent his son to die, and now you can be grafted in.
Right.
That's not the case, all right? The Bible from Genesis to Revelation is a history book only for the nation of Israel, a book of laws given to one specific nation.
All right. Okay, so So I got an article here. We spoke about the Monroe Doctrine a little some while ago. And when you read it on its surface, the Monroe Doctrine, you know, they try to make you seem like it was solely about, you know, keeping Europe out of Latin American countries. It was to protect the Latin American countries from, you know, colonization or continued colonization. But what you really find out was that basically it was America, the United States, stating that they would be the police of especially this side of the world, the Western Hemisphere, and that they're going to go ahead and be the one to, you know, control things over here, right?
Self-appointed?
Self-appointed. Right. And it's funny, I was reading one little thing here where they were saying from Britannica.com, they said when they declared it in 1823, they really didn't have the military might to even enforce it. So it was like a bold statement that they were making, but that's changed now, right, over the years. So it says, John Bolton and the Monroe Doctrine, democracy is at risk in Latin America, danger goes well beyond Cuba, Nicaragua, and Venezuela. So it says, Donald Trump's administration is not famed for its adherence to highfalutin's political principle. So highfalutin is a convoluted word to just basically say pompous or pretentious, all right, like overdone.
Wait, Donald Trump pompous?
Anyway, well, he says they're not fair. Well, they're talking about from the political principles. They're not famed for that adherence. So it says, so John Bolton, who's the United States National Security Advisor, struck an unusual note when he claimed in a speech in Miami last month that the Monroe Doctrine is alive and well. And it's interesting because the article we read a few months back was talking about that we were saying that. The article wasn't saying that. We were saying that here this show, that that is still what they use and what that's their guiding principle towards that stuff. So now Esau's going on record and saying that is what they roll with.
You know it's alive and well because if they ain't broke, don't fix it.
So, right.
So why would they change something that's been implemented and been so successful?
Right. And it's funny, when you read about the Monroe Doctrine, it always talks about it in past tense where it was, that it was, when it's actually still the guiding principle for what the United States uses to deal with Latin American countries.
You know, it's funny because like the scripture says that Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and tomorrow, right?
Right.
It's the same thing with Satan and his minions.
Right.
Esau was born the devil, the Bible speaks of, right. So that's never going to change.
Right.
So this whole thing, I'm glad they're going on record saying it, because like you said, we were talking about it already.
Yep. So it says, the Monroe Doctrine is alive and well. The reference to the 19th century principle under which the United States arrogated to itself the right to police Latin America was taken as a warning to Russia and China not to meddle in what used to be called America's backyard. So they're basically saying, listen, because Russia and China are the ones that they're having the most contention with, right? And they, you know, they're sporting themselves as kind of really the most powerful opposition to the United States in the modern world. And they're saying, you know, don't get involved over here, you know, because Russia's always been involved with Cuba to some extent, you know, Venezuela and so on. So it says, they call it America's backyard. The mindset that they have. So it says, Mr. Bolton gave new life to the doctrine by announcing fresh economic sanctions against Cuba, Nicaragua, and Venezuela, which he likes to call the Troika of Tyranny. It's the Troika of Tyranny. So, you know, the Troika meaning three, and he's saying they're the Troika of Tyranny. But the tone of his speech was optimistic as well as threatening. Once the Troika was brought down, Mr. Bolton explained, there was a prospect of the first free hemisphere in human history, extending from the snow-capped Canadian Rockies to the glistening Strait of Magellan. So, you know, they're on this back of what they're really saying is that once the Troika's brought down, we'll have no more resistance in the region.
Right.
And, you know, to the end that, you know, our goals and our aims will continue to be fulfilled. So it says, the problem with Mr. Bolton's soaring rhetoric is not just that the Strait of Magellan roils more than it glistens. It is also that both his analysis and his prescription are wrong. The weaknesses in Latin American democracy stretch far wider than the trio Mr. Bolton fingered, and the United States will not help strengthen it by bullying its southern neighbors. In the 1980s, Latin America turned from a land of dictators and juntas into the world's third great region of democracy, along with Europe and North America. Since then, democracy has put down roots. Most Latin Americans today enjoy more rights and freedoms than ever before. Yet many Latin Americans have become discontented with their democracies. And there's, you know, a link to another article where they speak about that, kind of what you were talking about, where, you know, these families are just up and leaving from places like Honduras and other areas down there. The region's economy is stagnant. And we've gone over this at large. This article doesn't go into that as much, but it's the controls that the United States puts as far as how they deal with that stuff. Get me that in Revelation about that they can't buy or sell, and you know, and then I want the rest. Where is it? 18, where it talks about the different types of thing and the merchants and the ships, because basically we're gonna. I don't want to spend too much time on the Monroe Doctrine piece. I want to jump to the Cuban sanctions article and talk a little bit about that. You know, being that it's only the power hour, I don't want to spend too much time on too much stuff because we went out of time. All right, so get that.
The book of Revelation, chapter 13 and verse 16. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive the mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark.
Right, so people get tripped up on the part where it says, you know, no man might buy or sell, save he that have the mark, right? The mark is talking about sin. That's going to be outside the scope of the show for us to talk about that in detail. But the mark is talking about sin, right? And what we mean by sin is America's doctrines, America's policies, America's way of doing things. I just saw an article this morning where I think in Taiwan they passed and legalized gay marriage. So America set the tone, right? And now you have all these old world traditional type of countries going along with it. And of course, they got pictures of, you know, the Moabites just tonguing each other. Oh. They did a mass wedding after it passed. So like 1,000 people got married and all that stuff. So, yeah, people were lined up to do mass weddings. So they did like one big wedding, and like 1,000 of them got like married. So you had, you know, lesbians, homosexuals, all that stuff.
How soon people forget, all right? It's gay pride, why Sodom and Gomorrah pride?
Yeah, right. So, but the point that I'm making is that you see, is like America, like people don't realize what comes with that. You know, it's a package of, hey, you have the promise and this of that and the other. But then what's going to come behind that, what, is the fulfilling of various lusts and, you know, gosh, don't even let me get started with a lot of the ostrich-type things I've been seeing on the Internet, too, with comments from, I mean, not even, I'm not talking about Israelite-specific stuff, but, you know, our Israelite sisters that are in a Gentile state of mind, you know, it just got me thinking, man, as much as we may talk about the rebellion of the sisters that are repenting, they're way better than these damn sisters that are in the world, man. These sisters that are in the world, like, I don't know, maybe because I'm a little sheltered off from it because, you know, our circles and our life revolves around being with people that keep the commandments. But it's horrendous, man.
Bro, you know it's bad because it's bad in Israel. So you can imagine.
No, it's outrageous, the type of mindset that I'm seeing. Like, the one thing about the kids eating first, and all these sisters and their comments on that stuff, you know, some of them get it. Some of the ones that are wrapped up in the world get it, and they understand what's behind that. Mm-hmm. But it's like, listen, it's a mass. Oh gosh, there's a word that they have for it where there's like a word that they use, a term, and it's gonna kill me, and I'm not gonna remember it for the show, but if I remember it, I'll look it up. Where it talks about basically. The effects of something kind of permeating into everybody, mm-hmm. and the effects of the Willie Lynch and really putting the female against the male, I think it's like it's almost at its pinnacle right now.
Oh, absolutely!
Like it's unbelievable, the disruption. And we've spoken about the divine order that the Most High has in place, and when that thing is disrupted, you know, when the man's not playing his position the right way, when the woman's not playing her position the right way, there's this unity in the home. If there's this unity in the home, you multiply that by the nation. Mm-hmm. You have an unproductive nation, right? Like, how are you gonna see plainly that you seek a country, you seek a kingdom on earth as it is in heaven?
That's why I want to do that class next week on giving the sense.
Yeah.
Rachel or Ratchet?
Rachel or Ratchet, there you go.
Bro, I'm telling you, like these women are destroyed.
Right. So it goes with that, the homosexuality, right? So all this stuff. What comes with it. But then it says the region's economy is stagnant, and the reason I came here was because it's talking about the sanctions, right? Mm-hmm. And they don't realize it's like it's this effect of they're trying to provoke regime change, and in reality they should really just be minding their business, right? Like let these countries do what they're gonna do and let them figure it out. But then they're like, again, the Monroe Doctrine, we're the police of the world. Really, it's not just that they're the police of this hemisphere, but they're really the police of the world, right? Yep. The United States is always involved in different things.
Right.
So it says poverty is more widespread than it needs to be because of extreme inequality. Governments are not providing their citizens with security in the face of rising violent crime. Corruption is widespread. Voters' discontent voiced on social media has helped promote leaders with an unhealthy tendency to undermine democratic institutions. Latin America's fall from grace is most obvious in Venezuela and Nicaragua, which are sliding into dictatorship. In communist Cuba, which stands behind those two regimes, hopes of reform have been dashed. But across the continent, the threats to democracy are growing. So, you know, obviously what you're seeing here is that this is a pro-democracy type of article. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we still use these type of things so that you can kind of see the gist of what's going on there. Now, what this particular article fails to do is give the accountability to the United States and their involvement in the destabilization and disrespect to that, right? So I want to skip through, they're talking about Honduras. This is more. It says, in Honduras, a conservative president and an American ally, Juan Orlando Hernandez, governs thanks to an election marred by fraud. So kind of like to let you know, he's an American ally, but he was elected fraudulently is what they're saying. Mm-hmm. Guatemala's president ordered out a UN body investigating corruption that had helped jail two of his predecessors. Voters elect populists such as Mr. Bolsonaro and AMLO and may-elect Christian Kirchner, who is on track to make a comeback in Argentina's election in October. Not to replace democracy with dictatorship, but because they want their politicians to do a better job. Yet in the 21st century, it is not tanks on the streets that crush democracy. Rather, elected autocrats boil the frog, capturing courts, cowing the media, and weakening the parts of civil society that hold them to account. Not unlike kind of what you see here, that it starts off a slow, steady progression into that stuff. So what they mean by boil the frog is, and I know the brother put the video up on the captain's thing, but we speak about that often, where it says, if you're gonna boil a frog, you don't throw him in when the water's hot, he'll jump right back out.
Right.
But you put him in there and then turn up the heat, and before he realizes it, it's too late, and then he's boiled. So, you know, they're saying basically these leaders come into play, and then little by little, they start making these changes and it creates, but what they don't realize, again, you know, we talk about the school of the Americas and all that, going into all that. All right. So I wanted to just touch on the Monroe Doctrine. I want to talk about the Cuba sanctions article because that's the bigger piece, which kind of falls into this, right? Because the rest of the article just talks about putting all the accountability on Latin America, which is almost impossible when you know the backstory to what went down over there. All right, so it says, sanctions on Cuba will only slow regime change. The island's communist dictatorship can blame America for shortages. So, I mean, we know that. Right? So that sounds pretty good. It says, for the past few months, Cubans have faced shortages of some foodstuffs, as well as sporadic power cuts and fuel shortages that have affected never abundant public transport. So it says, for the past few months, it's been that way. We were there, a little over a year ago,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's almost, I think October will be 2 years since we were there.
Yeah, yeah. October, yep.
I know. It says that they have shortages of foodstuffs as well as sporadic power cuts and fuel shortages. Like, we experienced that when we were there. Like, this isn't something new. This isn't something recent. What they should be saying is that it's getting worse, right? So we have to prepare for the worst, Raul Castro, Cuba's communist leader, told his people last month. On May 10th, the government announced that it would ration several staples, including rice, beans, chicken, and eggs, as well as soap and toothpaste. Can you imagine, like, the abundance? You go to the toothpaste out here, like at Target or Walmart, and it's like you're confused as to what you want to buy, right?
Right.
There's a secret. Toothpaste is toothpaste, by the way. It don't really matter.
So does it matter if it's like cavity protection?
As long as they have fluoride, they're all cavity protection. That's the only active ingredient that they can list as an active ingredient. Everything else is just marketing. Just buy the one you like the flavor the most, and that's it. But it goes, like, that's just how things are, right? You go in, they put all these, like, when you go into GNC, they have a million protein bodies, right? So you can be like, right? When you get down to the nitty-gritty, I mean, as long as they're truthful on the label, right? It's what's in there is what's in there. But it says it would ration several staples, including rice, beans, chicken, and eggs, as well as soap and toothpaste. I remember going to the supermarket there and to get waters and looking at how bare the shelves were. And the guy was telling me, that's just how it is. And, like, you know, we had a guide and he was like, look, you know, they're only allowed to buy like one thing of meat for like, you know, 3 weeks, or they're only allowed to, you know, and you know, we go now to the supermarket here and you have the meat containers are full, and mm-hmm. and if it's not, you just kind of knock on the thing or ring the bell, go to the back, they'll bring you out something, you know, like the meat for tomorrow, like they didn't have it out front. I rang the bell at Sam's, the guy go, oh yeah, I got that for you, like all this meat in the bag, you just like fixing it up, right? So you know, they go into these supermarkets and like the shelves were really like, you know, you're used to seeing stocked full things and it was like two things on a shelf or whatever, and like that's how it is because of the limit, and it's not any type of recognizable brands,
right?
Because they don't deal with American stuff. They have to deal with countries that'll deal with them, which is primarily China and Russia. Mm-hmm. So they get most of their newer automobiles from China. They get most of their stuff from Russia. So you see these odd brands and things like that. I think Italy still deals with them to some extent. So it says, these are the first results of Donald Trump's tightening of the American economic embargo against Cuba. So when we read what we read in Revelations, and it's talking about, you know, that they cannot buy nor sell or whatever, I mean, there's a prime example of that living today that you understand is not so small, that it's not on an individual level. It's talking about, when it says free and great, you know, free and bond, small and great, it's talking about countries. It's talking about world powers. When we read the Monroe Doctrine article, he was saying that, you know, they aim to have this hemisphere as the first free hemisphere, like once the troika of tyranny is gone, like you said, right?
It's and which is ironic because this was a free hemisphere.
Was, exactly. They're the ones that made it kind of what it was, right? Yeah. But it goes to show you when the scripture talks about free, and read that part again, where we were.
Revelation 13, verse 16. And he causes all, both small and great.
So small and great countries, go ahead.
Rich and poor.
Rich and poor countries.
Free and bond.
Free and bond. It's talking about countries because he just said, right, that when the troika of tyranny is gone, this will be the first free hemisphere, letting you know that there are still countries that are not considered free, right? So it's the same type of terminology. Come on.
To receive a mark in their hand or in their forehead.
The mark in their hand or their foreheads is talking about you agree with them. You're down with them. That's how you're going to roll. Your ideology is going to be in line with theirs. Go ahead.
And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark.
So no man might buy or sell, save he that had a mark. We're just reading about because of these sanctions that they're not able to get certain things and they got to ration stuff. Right. It was so hard to find beef on the island, man. Like, it was like great. Seasonings, even.
Mm.
Like outside of salt and pepper, they didn't have nothing. No, for real. Hey, and Abiel had to bring seasonings. He brought seasonings when he came because we were giving him the heads up and we were like, yo, the food's not that great. Like, you know, it's like, it's something else.
It's not Miami.
No, it's not Miami Cuban food, right? So he says, these are the first results of Donald Trump's tightening of the American economic embargo against Cuba as part of his effort to overthrow the dictatorship of Nicolas Maduro in Venezuela. Mr. Trump's administration is trying to halt the shipment of oil from Venezuela to Cuba. So, right, like, he don't own that oil. He has nothing to do with it. And they're trying to put things in place so that Venezuela can't send oil to Cuba. So it stems from the Monroe Doctrine. This is why I started with the Monroe Doctrine piece, right? And that they would be, you know, policing the world. They would be the world power, you know? So it's like the Bible's a true book when it says the earth is given into the hand of the wicked.
Right.
It's letting you know who's in control. Let's read that real quick because we have an audience that probably a lot of people don't know this stuff, don't listen to it.
It's the only true book on the earth. The book of Job, chapter 9, verse 24. The earth is given into the hand of the wicked. He covered the faces of the judges thereof. If not, where and who is he?
Wait, I'm sorry. I was looking at some comments there. But anyway, read it again.
The earth is given into the hand of the wicked. He covered the faces of the judges thereof. If not, where and who is he?
Right, exactly. So the earth is given into the hand of the wicked. For them to come and be so presumptuous to say these type of things and do this stuff, you're correct. So there's a brother there talking about that most of the presidents in Latin American countries are Edomites. I wouldn't go so bold to say most, but it is a known fact that there's a lot of Edom mixed in over there because what? You had the Spaniards there, and a lot of them are, they're not Israel. It's true. When we went to Cuba, we saw some aspects of that. You know, the thing is, you got to be careful about the genealogies. You know, it's kind of like
They say Frederick Douglass is really an Edomite. Mm-hmm. But all the work and stuff that Frederick did, yeah, because he's supposed to be the son of a white slave owner.
Right.
But sometimes you got to look at it. Like, Chet's supposed to not be Jake.
Chet supposedly was Irish.
Yeah. But, I mean, for a man to fight for his people to that extent.
Right.
Right. So, this is where it's, you know, just not by appearance, you kind of got to go by that. I mean, listen, we got people in all congregations, there's United in Christ, but we don't judge by that. But it is true, though. There is a large portion out there, and you see it. I think Officer Liam was going over some of that this morning. He was going over La Casta. I've gone over that, the caste system, and how the different mixings and blendings, they had names for them, like mulattoes and everything else. So, yes, to some extent, a lot of them are Edom. I wouldn't be so bold as to go out there, because you got to take, remember, the scripture talks about science falsely so-called. If something contradicts the Bible, the Bible is the thing that is the ultimate mediator in that. Mm-hmm. So we gotta go with what the scriptures say, right? But the point is, even if they were Jake that they put in office, America influences them. This is what
right.
we've gone over with the School of the Americas and everything. So it don't matter. You know, the results is not because they're Edom that they're like that. I mean, you're not going to tell me that Chavez was Edom. All right. First of all, right, if you do like to go by appearance, you're going to look at appearance. Chavez didn't look like freaking Edom. And, you know, on top of that, the stuff that Chavez did and the way he was talking so blatantly against America, that's not an Edomite, bro. That's not an Edomite. So he says, last month it imposed fresh restrictions on tourism and remittances to the island from the United States, which is interesting because I got to look into that now because we've been wanting to go back, and it looks like they're tightening travel there even more again, right? So it says, last month it imposed fresh restrictions on tourism and remittances to the island from the United States and opened the way for thousands of lawsuits by Americans against foreign companies operating in Cuba. After ousting of Mr. Maduro, Cuba's government will be next, promised John Bolton, Mr. Trump's national security advisor. So again, back to that Monroe Doctrine mindset.
Cuba ain't even bothering nobody.
No, for real, right? Like, they're not even...
Yeah, they're struggling on their own.
Uh-huh.
Right. Just to show you, man.
Yep.
They ain't got no import or exports for sugar, so I don't know why they even try to mess with them. I can see why Iran and all that stuff, right, in Venezuela.
Uh-huh.
Right, because that oil is rich there.
Right, right.
But where you going with...
Where you going with Cuba?
Again, that goes with the scripture and revelation, man, that they don't stay home, man.
Right. They can't stay at home, right? They're always abroad. Hey, and that's how they've gotten everything, right? Remember, by the sword.
Right.
And listen, remember, we read in the first article where he said that once the Troika is gone, it'll be the first free hemisphere. So that's their agenda. They just want to be able to say, look, because of us, democracy is in every country in this side of the world. And y'all need to follow after that, talking to the rest of the world, right? That's what he's going to roll by. So it says the Cuban regime has survived 6 decades of American sanctions.
Let's show you, man. Bro, 6 decades?
60 years of American sanctions.
Bro. Yeah. And then you wonder why the shows were all bare, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Gosh, man.
Hey, I'm telling you, I've said it before. Yo, just like one tile is like... Like I think it was like $10. Like,
nah, like, he had a stereo system, like just a speaker.
Just the speaker was like,
and they had to wait to get the other one.
He says like it takes so long to get stuff.
Oh.
Bro, like a simple tabletop fan that you get for like maybe, you know, $15 out here was like $100. And it was like some, you know,
when you clip onto the deck.
Yeah, when that little. It wasn't that little. It was crazy. You know, stuff for the baby, like the strollers, like all like expensive. Like, you think stuff here is expensive. And I'm talking about like a little umbrella stroller that you get for $30 here is like the cost of like a decked out stroller.
If kids are working at 5 months, they're like, nah.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, because they can't stroll them, so they learn how to walk sooner.
Quick.
They learn how to walk sooner. So it says they've survived 6 decades of American sanctions. And there's little reason to believe it will buckle now. But Mr. Trump's offensive does come at a complicated moment for Cuba. It coincides with a gradual handover of power from Mr. Castro, who is 87, to a collective leadership, including Miguel Díaz-Canel, who took over as president last year and who was born after the revolution in 1959 that installed communism. It also comes when the economy is stagnant. Older Cubans look back to the years when the island was a heavily subsidized Soviet satellite as one of relative abundance. And I remember the guy telling us down there, he was like, it really didn't get bad for them until like the 90s, And he was like, that's when things really started to go downhill. And, you know, you see it like in movies like The Godfather, people would go there and it was booming and thriving. We didn't see anything like that. You know, there was no flashy, glitzy casinos or none of that stuff.
Man, with the spider.
I'm telling you. I mean, it looked like a ghetto in the South Bronx or something. It was like really run down, just nicer weather. So it says, the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1991 was followed by what Fidel Castro, Raul's older brother, called the special period of austerity. That ended when Hugo Chavez of Venezuela gave Cuba subsidized oil. When the oil price fell in 2014 and mismanagement cut Venezuela's oil output, Mr. Maduro scaled back the aid. It is now at less than half its peak. So, you know, what the United States is doing at the end of the day is working to an extent, right? And we know that because the scriptures tell you that too.
And that's BS that it's at half its peak, right?
Yeah.
They just want you to read that. The scripture talks about that. Like that whole South America, the northern part of it, man, talks about what ashes, they dip their foot in the oil.
Right, exactly. So it says, the blow was softened, explains Pavel Vidal, a Cuban economist at Javeriana University in Cali, Colombia, partly by a rise in American tourism following Barack Obama's thaw towards Cuba and by a modest increase in foreign investment as a result of Raul Castro's mildly liberalizing economic reforms. Mr. Trump's measures target these two shock absorbers. Mr. Vidal expects the economy to shrink by up to 3% this year and imports to fall by 10 to 15%. After a 20% drop in 2015. So it's basically a grim picture for what's going on down there. Harder times do not mean returning to the most acute phase of the special period, Mr. Castro insisted last month. That was marked by systematic shortages and regular power cuts, the memory of which is traumatic. Since then, Cuba has diversified its economy somewhat and now produces a third of the oil it consumes. So not a lot of people knew that. They have oil reserves there as well. So it says a third of it they produce themselves. It has also hoarded foreign reserves. So this is part of the reason when we were there that they were saying that stuff is rationed is because they understand. So it's one of those things where it's like they blame the government because it's like, listen, just do what America wants and we'll have more stuff coming in. But they have to ration because if not, they know people will go hungry. Like they can't let them just have the abundance and stuff, right? So it says the immediate impact of the Trump offensive has been to send the Cuban regime into a defensive crouch. Progress in market opening reforms has all but halted, while not doing anything to jeopardize the system's iron political control. And what's funny as I'm reading this, I think about this. Nobody stops to look because somebody might say, oh, you guys are anti-American, you're not patriotic, whatever. We're for the Bible, first and foremost, right? That's what's going to be. So we're pro-God, all right, before anything else. But even if you're patriotic, pro-American and all that stuff, what business is it yours? What country decides what type of governmental system they use to manage themselves?
Well, you got to understand it, bro. The same philosophy they had when they came here and took Mexicans and Native Americans under the manifest destiny.
It's in this spirit. Right, exactly. And that's the point that I'm really trying to get to is like, if you look at it logically, it's not a logical approach. Cuba's not a threat. We said this.
Right.
The Soviet Union's gone. I could understand even back then, right, with the Cuban Missile Crisis, saying, hey, it's so close to us.
That was the closest threat that Cuba ever was.
Right. What's the threat from Cuba? That because they don't want to be a democracy, going to restrict doing business with
that's
them.
That's why they don't like Iran. The only threat that Cuba is that they stop sending their baseball players over here for us to watch. That's it.
China's not a democracy. China's not a democracy.
No, China's doing it.
And we deal with China.
Yep.
So you can't say the rationale is democratic countries shouldn't deal with these other countries. Saudi Arabia is a monarchy.
Right,
which in some ways is worse if you think about it, right?
Yeah, it is worse because you're gonna have that king there forever.
Right. Yeah, and unless your king is Christ, that's no paradise, right? You're at the whims of men. You got something you want to bring up?
Yes, sir. Isaiah 1:7.
Go ahead, bro.
I got three. The book of Isaiah, chapter 1 and verse 7. Your country is desolate.
So when we speak about Cuba and any country where the Israelites dwell, you know. Our countries are desolate. Mm-hmm. You know, they're destroyed,
that's
right?
Your cities are burned with fire.
Uh-huh.
Your land strangers.
your land. Strangers devour it in your presence.
So in the presence, even while you're there, we're there in these countries. We're in the countries where we're at, you know, and the Chinese people come over in Cuba, you know, saying they're just devouring it. The Russians are over there, they're devouring it, right?
And it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers.
So the strangers are in our land. They're just overthrowing us slowly by slowly devouring us.
That's a good strength. The land is desolate in the presence of the strangers, right? I mean, think about it. Cuba's right there in the midst of the United States. And it's again, just that whole mindset of, and I'm reaching out to, you know, our people who are here in America and might be like, well, no, you don't realize how much of a puppet you are.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, Cuba doesn't impact you. If anything, it benefits you.
Right.
And, you know, the American lifestyle, hey, if tourism was open, it's a great place. It's a beautiful country. Mm-hmm. If they could get a little more support and infrastructure.
Right.
But as it's playing by itself, it's a beautiful country. It's a beautiful people. All right. I mean, they treated us great there. Except the government. They followed us.
That'll put you though, about China and like Saudi Arabia is an excellent point, because that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Like, you got Saudi Arabia over there running around like King Joffrey from freaking Game of Thrones, like just willy nilly, like doing whatever you want. But yet they continue to like deal with them.
Yeah.
So it's all hypocrisy.
Yeah, man. I'm telling you. So it's weird. You're right. It's all hypocrisy. Well, Cuba does not impact you one way or the other.
Not one bit, bro.
Not one bit. Not one bit. Yeah, there's no human rights violations going on down there, right? Because that's their argument in Venezuela, right? There's no human rights, or people are suffering. The people are suffering in Cuba because of you.
Right.
Lift them sanctions, soften your stance. So if you think about it, you're a bully if you have the mindset that you're on board with what's going on down there.
Bring it out.
Because they won't play by your rules.
Mm-hmm.
They won't do that first Maccabees, was it 141, where it says all shall be one people,
right?
To the end that they shall forget their customs. And, you know, at that time it was against the Israelites specifically because of Judah 5. We understood what they were trying to do to us. The Cubans are already on that boat already. But the point is, there's nothing there. So what you're looking at is just a bully. There's no reason to be putting sanctions on them. You just don't like that they're a communist country.
That's right.
You know? So it says progress in market. And maybe that stance would change if they opened up trade. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. They don't like that. They don't depend on
them. Yeah. And that's
why
what it goes
like
down
Russia.
To. Yep.
Right.
And that's why they can't roll with Russia or China the way they're rolling with Cuba and Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's good. I had lost that thought. I had that thought in my head. You're on point with that. What they're doing now with China is, let's play over tariffs. Because we are so deep in bed with China when it comes to trade,
mm-hmm.
that he can't say to hell with you. We're gonna cut you off.
Right.
Because then we would wind up getting jacked up.
Right.
And China has a relationship like that with us as too, because we're one of their largest importers. So they both understand what's at stake here. So they're playing this game of posturing and you know, they're hurting each other as they do it with these tariffs and stuff. And Russia, he ain't messing with, because he knows Russia's right there, and Russia got probably equal military might as far as the
Russia
way we
were. Things.
So, you know, you got to be a little careful. Yeah, Russia got them things. So, you know, Russia got them hands, bro. Russia going to give you the hands. You know what I'm saying? So, and then Putin don't give a shit. So
Russia's 3 miles from Alaska. So it's like, oh, you know what?
Yeah. Let's fall back a little bit, right? So they treat it different. They're not rolling that way. But anyway, so it says, while not doing anything to jeopardize the system's iron political troll, okay, hold on. The immediate impact of Trump's offensive has been to send the Cuban regime into a defensive crouch. Progress in market opening reforms has all but halted. While not doing anything to jeopardize the system's iron political control, Mr. Diaz-Canal had brought a more relaxed style, going around with his wife and talking to ordinary Cubans. So this is the new president that, as they're switching over from Raul Castro, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he says, now the veteran Stalinist in the Politburo are more visible again. On May 11th, police broke up an unauthorized march by gay rights activists in Havana. So, you know, that's already going on there.
Damn, bro.
Yeah, oh, yeah, bro. They have that.
Well, Raul is a homosexual.
Right, but
so is
it. I know. He has. And he was known as that. They were telling us down there. What do they call him? La Chinita. Like, that's his homo nickname. That's his euphemism. That's his homo nickname. But so now they're saying like these new guys are breaking up the. So, but check it out. They put this in the article to show you that that is now anti-American. To not allow to gayness in your country is anti-American.
Right.
The march was a sign that society, too, has changed as a result of Raul's reform and Mr. Obama's thought, much scorned, though it is, by Mr. Bolton. A third of the workforce now labors in small private businesses or cooperatives. Around 20% of Cubans, mainly younger ones, are globalized and connected to social media, reckons Rafael Rojas, a Cuban historian at CIDE, a university in Mexico City. With the other 80%, the regime will be fairly successful in blaming a deterioration of economic conditions on the United States. But it is their fault. I don't see a popular uprising or social unrest because of shortages. For the Cuban regime, Venezuela has been a means to divert American pressure away from the homeland. A bolder leadership might cut its losses and accept a democratic transition there in return for guarantees that it will still get some oil. So this is their tactic. They're like, listen, if we could crush Venezuela, get Venezuela on board, they stop supporting them, the leaders are going to have to cut their losses and accept a democratic transition as long as they get guarantees that they're going to get oil.
Yo. They said not accepting homosexuality is an anti-American, right? Cuba was like, I know. Yeah, we know, but like that's why we're not doing it.
Right.
Like, man.
So it says, but there is no sign that the diplomatic overtures by Canada and the Lima group of Latin American countries will draw that response from Havana. A different administration in Washington might seek to negotiate with Cuba about Venezuela. As it is, under Mr. Trump's assault, the Cuban regime is likely to become even more rigid in its resistance. So this is what they're saying. Like, it's going to get worse, not better, as far as what's going on out there. So I find it real interesting what's going on there as far as that.
Were you stationed in Cuba?
Yeah.
Like, what was the climate then? Like, because he said that it's been like this since like the 90s, and like, that's where...
Well, you know how it is. The Marines, man, you know, the hoorah, hoorah.
Right, right.
Fidel Castro was still young in his prime, pretty much, at that time.
Mm-hmm.
1988.
Right.
Oh, things were still, what was it, 1960, something, 20-something years removed.
Right, exactly.
So, you know, it was, a lot of it was politics, man. Like, when we would patrol the fence line, like, a lot of the grunts, what they would do is they would take pictures of the infantry putting their middle finger up at them, and they would send that back to Washington.
Were like you able to like go outside of like the base?
Oh no. On the contrary, they had Jamaicans that were living in Cuba, Benjamin, and some Cubans that they would let them come every day to work in Guantanamo Bay on the base,
right?
And then they would have to go back.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I was asking because I was curious.
Yeah, it was probably. More than what it was probably not as bad as what they were really making it.
Right.
I would have seen, but you know.
Because you guys' recent trip out there, I mean, you guys made it sound like it was like, oh gosh.
See, but we didn't see all that. See, that's why when I went there, remember now I went on the other side. I went on the communist side. I went on the American side.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, it was gonna be better. All right, we had, you know, three squares.
Bro, that's insane because it's the same island. It's the same island.
A little piece of it, yeah.
Well, Guantanamo is very far from Havana. It's like all the way. So, like, Havana's like northwest,
mm-hmm.
and then Guantanamo's like the tip of the
tip,
southeast.
Yeah, facing more towards.
Like, you were saying this. I look at it on the map, and you were saying, like, the way they would come in for the landing is so tight. Like,
land.
You got to, like,
scoop around. The airport, man, we had, the wings, you could see the fish and everything. And they had to make a very sharp turn just to avoid going into communist space.
That goes to show when the scripture says that the whore sits in the many waters,
mm-hmm.
even with all these sanctions and everything else that's going on with Cuba and everything, they still have a base there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's insane, bro.
Well, like, no, I'm glad you brought that up because based on what he was talking about, if Cuba's such a threat, dude, I'm going to be honest with you. Supposedly, in 8 hours, backup would have been there for us.
Mm-hmm.
We were trained for that. We were trained for them invading us. Dude, if there's ever a time they were going to do it, it would have been. They would have been there.
Right.
They're not a threat, man.
Mm-hmm.
They're not a threat,
oh,
man.
No.
They're trying to get down with them. The Guantanamo Bay is only 10 miles by 10. You telling me they can't overtake that?
Right.
Right. We used to see them train their military. We would, I've seen Castro go up to the guard tower, the guard tower.
Yeah.
You know, and do reliefs and stuff. Now, granted, he had a lot of duplicates. He had
lookalikes.
A lot of lookalikes. Yes, he was
decoys.
Decoys.
Mm-hmm.
He had a he was the master of disguise. So you didn't even know that was him. He always had different people that looked like him because he knew that the murderer was always trying to assassinate him.
Mm. Bullies.
Yeah, but if there was a time, it would have done it. It would have been dead.
Yeah, absolutely. It's closed now, right? Isn't it?
No,
I think Obama was gonna close it.
Right.
But
no, what they were trying to close was the prison.
Oh, is that what it was? Yeah, they're probably never going to. They ain't giving that thing.
Now, that's a strategic stronghold.
They were saying they're not going to do that that stuff anymore.
Remember, from there, they could control the Dominican Republic, Haiti, Puerto Rico. They're very close. The Caribbean islands. And they're there on a boots on the ground to watch everything that Cuba's doing. Yeah, but, they do a diligent search, man.
That's right.
They go to deep, man. Exactly, man.
Exactly what it
Cuba is. Ain't no threat, man. Neither is Venezuela, man. They need to stop. I don't know what that just came out of the blue. That whole thing with Venezuela.
Babylon has its eye on sanctions and oppressing Cuba, and all Cubans want to do is get to Miami.
Bro, they don't even know why they do what they do, right? That's their blessing, right? And they have to. That's how the Most High made them. The Most High made them where they just have to use armaments and weaponry. To take over parts of the world.
You know what? It's good that you say that, because I like that you say armaments and weapons, because the scripture says sword, and people just think sword. So let's bring that prophecy. I'll get Genesis 27.
Yeah, you gotta bring that. It does say sword, but that's sword. That was the weapon of choice at that time.
Yeah, right? And let's start at 38, right, so we can see.
And again, sword is a euphemism, it's symbolic of what.
It means a weapon.
And if you want to think about it, missiles, I could talk about it in the Bible as a sword.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Go ahead and read that, Genesis 27 and 38.
This book of Genesis 27, verse 38. And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept.
Right, because they say, Jacob stole the inheritance. It wasn't stolen. It was given, right? Everybody forgets that part.
Mm-hmm.
And then Esau was still going to try to take it anyway. So he was going to basically do what he's been known to do throughout history since that day, make a treaty, make a promise, make a compact, and then go against it.
There you go.
Right? The Most High had this thing ordained. So, he says he lifted up his voice and he wept because he was like, damn, you gave the thing was the first blessing you got. I'm telling you, we live with our values are so different now, man. Like we don't honor the firstborn that way. We don't groom them and treat them as what you're going to leave left behind. You know, like, again, you know, you watch a Game of Thrones now. So you notice the importance of the sons and you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, I got to raise this one a certain way. You raise all your sons a certain way, but because you want a succession. Even if you weren't a king or whatever, you owned something, you had a little something.
Yeah, it's like Troy, man. Remember when the king's son was a homo?
Oh, yeah, man.
He threw his ass out the window, bro.
He said,
he threw the love out the window.
Oh, man. You're talking about Braveheart.
Was that Braveheart?
That was Braveheart, where the king's son was a mo.
Yo, man.
So he wound up he threw his love out the window.
He threw him out the window. His father was hardcore too, man. This dude can't.
He would have threw his son out the window if he freaking realized that that he had another seed. He probably would have just pulled him and give it to the second one. But he said, "Dad, this is my only one. I'm freaking sick of dying. I'm just gonna get rid of his fucking mo and put him. I'm gonna get rid of his mo and just throw him out. He threw him out the window, bro.
Yeah.
And that's why when he was on his deathbed." The wife of the thing, she was like, you know what? That's not your seed in there. That's this guy. What was his name? Braveheart's name? William Wallace. Yeah, she was like, that's William Wallace. He was like, he almost died.
Yeah, because he was a black man.
But the point is, they understand, right?
That's for another
topic.
Right. I don't know about William Wallace being part of the Maccabees.
You were talking about the like importance of like the firstborn, right?
Uh-huh.
Nowadays, it's just Avenger by title, but like not by actions.
No. It's just like you're right, and we were going over that last week where it's like, hey, my Avenger's here. No, he's not an Avenger unless you make him one. You know what I'm saying? You got to groom him into that. We went over that in Sirach 30. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you have to follow those steps, And, you know, and then if the Lord still decide whatever, you know, that's different. But
I'm sorry, but it'd be the ones that aren't strong in the Lord that'd be like, oh, my Avengers there. You're Avenger when you're not even
built up, right? Anyway, go back. Read verse 39, just 27:39.
The book of Genesis 27 verse 39. And Isaac, his father, answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth. And of the dew of heavens above.
So he says, listen, I do have a blessing for you, right? This is what I see. He goes, thy dwelling's going to be the fatness of the earth, meaning you're going to have the best of everything, right? And he said, and of the dew of heaven from above. So you're going to have complete domination everywhere, right?
The earth is given into the hands of the wicked.
Right. The earth is given into the hands of the wicked. Come on.
Verse 40. And by thy sword shall thou live.
Right, so he's letting you know. He goes, listen, but you ain't going to get this the way Jacob's going to wind up getting it. He says, by thy sword shalt thou live. So going back to the armaments, the weapons, everything. Back then it was sword, but you're thinking about it now, and it's like, what do we use? We use guns, missiles, artillery, all this other stuff, right? He says, and by the sword shalt thou live. And that's how they've gotten everything. That's how they've continued to roll. Come on.
And by thy sword shalt thou live. And shall serve thy brother.
Which what? When we had our kings, when we had our time in Israel, right? With the kings of Israel, come on.
And it shall come to pass when thou shalt have dominion.
Right, because that means that was only for a time. Come on.
That thou shalt break the yoke from thy brothers, from off thy neck.
Right, and that's when the other nations came into power. And Israel went into deep captivity basically, every king after Solomon wasn't so great. So. So after that, it was pretty bad, bro, you know? But, and you know, that's the way it went down. You got something you were going to bring up?
Yeah, because I was going to say, because right there it says, by the sword shall thou live, right? Mm-hmm. So you understand that it's through his military might and everything else how he conquers these things. And that's not so for the nation of Israel. Those that are so quick in these last days to say, we got to pick up arms and fight against this man, because Zechariah, the prophecy says, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit.
Hey, Tubal Cain, seed of Cain, created all the weapons. Mm-hmm. It's in their spirit.
Right.
Absolutely. Okay, you read that back in Genesis.
Hey, and don't forget about the waster. And it says that the spirit is there to put that on these scientists to do that stuff, you know? So, I mean, hey, it's like Yahusuf has said one time. I'll never forget it when we were first coming in. He goes, you got to think about it, man. The Most High is allowing Satan to deal with Edom in such a way. Think about the moon landing, right? And he was like, how did they know that they needed a visor that was gold? How did they know they needed this and that when they went up there?
Right, that there's a holy atmosphere at a certain time where you can get...
Now, conspiracy theorists will tell you that it never happened, because they didn't know and it didn't happen. But understand the power of the scripture. This is where science, falsely so-called, it's falsely called when it's contrary to the scriptures. But they had the knowledge and the understanding because Satan was allowed to give them that understanding to deal with that stuff.
And that goes back to Genesis, where it says Satan, your desire should be unto Satan.
Right, which...
So that's their guy.
It's interesting you say it, because we're going over that today. So we're going to be doing that in the class. We're going over Genesis. Man. Yeah, we're going to go over a little Genesis. We're going to go over Adam and Eve a little bit.
Hey, I'll reprieve.
All that. You think? Right? Real quick, I wanted to read this one part of the Monroe Doctrine that I had left out. This is how you see how it evolved, right? So it was in 1823 that thing was put in place. And then it says, after 1870, interpretation of the Monroe became increasingly broad. As the United States emerged as a world power, the Monroe Doctrine came to define a recognized sphere of influence. President Theodore Roosevelt added the Roosevelt Corollary to the Monroe Doctrine in 1904, which stated that in cases of flagrant and chronic wrongdoing by a Latin American country, the United States could intervene in that country's internal affairs.
So there's something heavy about that, because even in 1823, so-called Latins were a threat and were being treated wrongly by Esau.
Yes.
Because he said Latin American countries, right?
Yes.
See, when we think of the 1800s, we only think of America, right? And Europe.
Mm-hmm.
We forget that Latin American countries were so-called were here.
Right.
And they had issues with us back then.
Right. So it says, Roosevelt's assertion of hemispheric police power was designed to preclude violation of the Monroe Doctrine by European countries seeking redress of grievances against unruly or mismanaged Latin American states. It was all a setup. They knew that these things were going to be mismanaged and whatever, and they said, listen, but it's funny because how do you have the authority to declare that in right. countries that aren't yours?
Right. Right.
So it says, from the presidency of Theodore Roosevelt to that of Franklin Roosevelt, the United States frequently intervened in Latin America, especially in the Caribbean.
Right. I mean, listen, man.
Yeah. Listen, man, that's just the question. Since the 1930s, the United States has attempted to formulate its Latin American foreign policy in consultation with the individual nations of the hemisphere and with the Organization of American States. This, I've always said I want to come back and like kind of follow this trail of all these acronym, all these acronym bodies that they put together.
Bro, it's good because
to set up.
It's a freaking like it's a rabbit hole.
Right, right.
Really,
and it's interesting because I'm gonna say that. We got the brother Donald there that, you know, he's saying a lot about the G8 and whatever. You know, you have good points, brother, but you gotta root yourself in the scriptures. I see you there talking about the polar ice caps melting. What's gonna happen to the islands? Listen, the Most High's will is what's gonna happen. All right, whether that's legitimate or not. But you're talking about G8. This is beyond the G8. You have all these little things, the Organization of American States, the Monroe Doctrine, the Roosevelt Corollary, and those things are only significant in the construct of the scriptures in helping people realize that it is prophecy being fulfilled and the mechanisms by which Esau is doing it.
At the end of the day, that just proves the Bible even more of a true book.
Yeah.
We got no say in nothing. We ain't part of no G8.
No, right. And plus, right. If you want to understand,
Israel ain't part of no G8.
Right.
Bro, yeah, that's exactly it. You want to know what all that stuff that you're talking about there? That's because he said, and the G8 nations are making this happen.
Yep.
It's all those nations are confederate against us. Read Psalms 83, and you're going to see who's making that happen.
Right.
It's beyond the G8. Stop watching CNN and all that stuff, bro. You got to get yourself more rooted in the scriptures. And then that knowledge can then help you through the lens spiritually.
Right. It's not the polar caps melting that's going to move the islands. It's going to be thermonuclear destruction.
Right.
That's what it says in
right.
Revelation 3.
Right. Because that information, that he's bringing out, right, once you know that the Bible is the first and foremost truth, then you look at that and you're like, okay. You know?
Right.
Now you could, when you explain to somebody, you could
right.
explain it in an educated way.
Right. In
the Bible.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And then we don't sound like conspiracy nuts.
Right.
Right? Because...
Right.
The Bible has to be the foundation to all that. So I'm not saying what you're saying is wrong.
No, absolutely.
I'm saying in the context that you're bringing it out, it's not biblical.
Yeah, you
right?
gotta back it up. With
right, and we're gonna deal with it biblical. So I'll read this last part and then we'll wrap it up. It says, yet the United States continues to exercise a proprietary role at times of apparent threat to its national security, and the Western Hemisphere remains a predominantly U.S. sphere of influence.
Mm.
So basically, I don't see how Cuba is a threat to national security. Like, that's the big one. I don't see even how Venezuela is. But to them, they've broadened that to basically mean if you're not a democracy, it's a threat to U.S. national security.
Again, this is why Iran is a threat. This is why all those Middle Eastern countries that are not on board. This is why they went into Iraq and made it a democracy.
Yep.
All right? That's the plan. All right?
Yep.
Factless.
Yep.
Okay?
Anyway, that's the show for this week. Lord's will, you'll catch us next week. And with that, we say shalom.
Shalom. He said, that's why it's the fatness.
That's why it's the fatness.
'A lot of these words in the book run into each other.
Yeah.
They're not spaced out right.
Yeah, or like the typeset's probably not good, right?
No, no, no.